Support for legislative coverage comes from USU's Department of History, committed to providing the knowledge necessary for informed decision-making by citizens of Utah, the United States, and the world, and supporting UPR's coverage of the Utah legislature. Online at usu.edu/history.
Snowy road conditions are blamed for killing two men in Clearfield. Utah home sales are on the rise, and a bill prohibiting filming on farms was passed today by the Utah Senate. We'll have details.
Today is Wednesday, March 7th, and it's All Things Considered. I'm Mackenzie Hamilton.
And I'm Tom Williams. This is your 5:30 Utah News.
And as we mentioned earlier, filming on farms, ranches, and dairies could be prohibited in Utah despite concerns that animal abuse will go unreported. Republican Senator David Hinkins of Orangeville says the purpose of House Bill 187 is to prevent animal rights activists from taking pictures or videos to use as propaganda. The bill is returning to the House after passing the Senate 24-5. Hinkins says the amendments made in the Senate protect illegitimate employees who film safety violations. The bill only applies to somebody who gets hired at an agricultural operation under false pretenses. Amanda Hitt with the Government Accountability Project says the bill will still have a chilling effect on whistleblowers because the threat of criminal prosecution. Hitt says the primary goal is to prevent any pictures or agricultural operations.
Utah Senate and House have passed two bills that would take ownership of 30 million acres of federal land. An amended version of House Bill 148 passed 21-6 in the Senate and 59-14 in the House today. The bill was sponsored by Representative Kevin Ivory and gives Congress a 2014 deadline to transfer all federally controlled land back to Utah. However, that does not include the state's five national parks, national monuments, and multiple wilderness areas. Supporters say that owning and managing federal lands could significantly boost economic development. Mining for coal, oil, and gas in these areas could bring in trillions of dollars. State attorneys have warned the land bills are likely unconstitutional, but House Speaker Becky Lockhart said it was a discussion worth having with the federal government. Representative Brian King believes the bills are just a platform for lawmakers to make a statement.
I think they're pushing it because there is the feeling for a very long time that the federal government is overreaching, that they're unduly restrictive, that they're poking their hands into stuff that is the state's business. And quite honestly, there are some good reasons to feel that way. But I think that we've got to do everything that we can to maintain a good collaborative working relationship with our partners at the federal government level. And I don't think that we are helping ourselves by becoming adversarial.
House Bill 148 also calls for state control of the nearly 2 million acre Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument.
A sheriff's deputy and another man were injured in a morning crash on an icy Cache County road. Utah Public Radio's Ashley Tolman reports.
Utah Highway Patrol officials say that a Ford Windstar carrying five men slid into the back of a deputy's parked patrol car at about 6:40 this morning. The crash left 28-year-old minivan passenger Abram Woldioannis with serious neck and head injuries. Sergeant Troy LeQuinn was in his vehicle when it was struck and was treated and released for minor injuries. LeQuinn is one of three deputies that had been on the scene helping other drivers who had slid off the road. Authorities say the minivan was driving about 35 or 40 miles an hour, which is too fast for these wintry conditions. For reporting for Utah Public Radio News, I'm Ashley Tolman.
There were a series of accidents. Here's another one. Authorities have identified an Ogden father and son who were killed in a crash on Snowy Interstate 15 north of Clearfield. The 63-year-old Jorge Revilla and his 29-year-old son Christopher Revilla were killed Tuesday night when the father lost control and crossed the median. The men's 2000 Ford Focus was then broadsided by an oncoming semi-truck. Highway Patrol spokesman Corporal Todd Johnson says both men in the car were wearing seatbelts but were killed instantly.
And in another crash, nobody was seriously injured when a car ran a red light in downtown Salt Lake City and crashed into a tracks train. Salt Lake City police say the incident happened about 10:15 this morning when a woman ran through an intersection and then the train struck the train in the driver's side of her vehicle. The driver had minor injuries and was ticketed for running a red light. A teenage boy in the passenger seat was not hurt. Utah Transit Authority spokesman Gary Carpenter says the impact derailed the train. The intersection was closed for several hours while crews cleaned up the site.
The Utah Senate has passed a bill that was initially intended to thwart Salt Lake City's anti-idling ordinance. But as KCPW's Whitney Evans reports, the city will get to keep its clean air initiative after all.
Salt Lake City Democratic Senator Ben McAdams amended House Bill 104 on Tuesday to allow anti-idling ordinances to be enforced on both public and private property. But businesses could avoid enforcement by adopting an anti-idling education policy for their customers. McAdams notes the city gets to decide whether a business's anti-idling plan is adequate. Anyone on private property that's not accessible to the general public, like a driveway, could not be cited. The bill, sponsored by Republican Representative Wayne Harper, originally barred cities from enforcing anti-idling ordinances altogether. Harper argued cities were overstepping their bounds by passing them.
They wanted an educational program is what they've advertised. We gave them a pretty good win on the enforcement on private property, but there's opt-out provision. So overall, I think it turned out okay.
The bill now allows minor fines, similar to parking fines, to be issued after three warnings, which McAdams says was a hard sell for Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City Council Vice Chair Charlie Luke says the city's preference obviously would have been to let the ordinance stand as written.
We're still able to have that education component that I think was the most important thing for everybody. And so I think it absolutely does have teeth. I'm very satisfied with it.
House Bill 104 passed the Senate unanimously. Now the House must approve the amendments before it goes to Governor Gary Herbert. From KCPW News in Salt Lake City, I'm Whitney Evans for Utah Public Radio.
Utah home sales jumped for the eighth month in a row January, up more than 6% compared with a year ago. The report released today by the Utah Association of Realtors shows members sold 1,985 homes in January. That's up 120 over the same time last year, marking the best January in 5 years. Realtors also say the state's home inventory is on the decline, which will help stabilize home prices.
The defense attorney for an Eastern Utah Mormon bishop accused of failing to report a teen girl's disclosure of sex abuse says it would be unconstitutional to release his mugshot. David Levitt says having a jailhouse photo taken and posted to the internet would violate the Eighth Amendment's cruel and unusual punishment clause because it would be the greatest punishment his 43-year-old client could receive. Duchesne resident Gordon Moon is charged in Eighth District Court with felony witness tampering and misdemeanor failure to report abuse but has not been convicted. In documents reported by the Deseret News, Levitt argues mugshots are widely interpreted as criminal symbols and will remain online to haunt Moon forever, even if he's acquitted. Moon is scheduled to stand trial June 1st.
And the Utah Senate approved a bill this morning that requires some welfare recipients in the state to be drug tested if they want to continue to receive benefits. Under House Bill 155, anyone applying for the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, or TAF, will have to complete the questionnaire designed to determine the likelihood that they're using drugs. If it suggests that they are, they will be asked to submit a drug test. Republican Senator Aaron Osmond says it's a balanced and fair program because those who test positive will be directed to treatment.
It catches and identifies an individual who is struggling with a substance abuse problem to ensure that they are successful in the family employment program and continue through to successfully provide for their family.
Applicants would lose their benefits if they refuse a drug test or a treatment. But Democratic Senator Luce Robles says it's unnecessary.
When you remove those very, very small resources for those families, you will have an impact on children. I don't think we have a problem. Nobody has been able to show how big of a problem this is.
The Senate approved the bill on a 22-4 vote, and it will now be voted on one more time before going to the governor.
Now we bring in state climatologist Robert Gillis from the Utah Climate Center. Dr. Gillis, there's been a lot of different kinds of weather lately.
Yes, there has been, Tom. But, you know, today's big question is, for you, Mackenzie, is, do you like ice cream?
Sure do.
I do, too.
And, you know, what kind of weather do you associate with ice cream?
Clear skies, warm.
Hot weather.
Hot weather. Well, you know, you've just forecast the weather for the next 4 to 5 days, so you don't really need the climate center anymore, do you?
That's great. That's great. We'll just take over from here.
Okay. It's over to you.
Very good. We'll have the forecast coming up from Dr. Gillis. That's in 10 minutes. And for the 5:30 Utah News, I'm Tom Williams.
And I'm Mackenzie Hamilton. Thank you for joining us.
By the way, you can hear this news, if you missed any part of it, on our website beginning at 6 o'clock. That's upr.org.